Now, we're coming tonight, we're coming to join together in prayer. And one of the psalms that's become, or one of the verses that's become, to me, a really helpful verse is Psalm 50, verse 15, where we read from the Lord. He says, "Call on me on the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will give me glory." And I think that's a tremendous encouragement to come to prayer. I've just been thinking around in my own head, and forgive me, this is a little bit American. So what, growing up on watching The Lone Ranger, if any of the rest of you ever did that. And it just reminded me, this prayer, that there's only one silver bullet in the world. I hear people all the time trying to find out, what's the silver bullet? What's the answer? You know, I've got this problem. What's the answer? How do I do it? They want wisdom. They want a way of doing it. There's only one silver bullet in this universe. It's on our knees. It's coming before the God of glory and praying. And what an incredible privilege that he invites us. Come to me in the day of trouble, he says, and I will answer you, and you will give me glory. And we're going to be coming and doing that tonight. And what a privilege to join together in prayer tonight. I'm going to open us in prayer, and then we're going to ask Jeff to come and open up God's word. Let us pray. Most gracious and merciful Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity tonight that we have, whether we're coming in on Zoom at home or whether we're here together within the church, of joining together in the most glorious, vital business in the universe. And that is coming together on our knees and praying and seeking your face tonight. And we want to ask that you may meet each of us, wherever we're at tonight, in such a way, and that you may take up our prayers. And even as you promise, that you may in your wisdom answer according to your own glory. So we commend ourselves to you and ask for you to meet us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. I and others are privileged to be part of what's called the Highfields Men's Bible Study Group. And some, along with me last Wednesday, were greatly encouraged on Zoom to have a study in Psalm 40 led by our brother John Emmer. One verse came out and really struck me very forcefully. It's from Psalm 40 and verse 5. "Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare." It got me thinking of what to speak this evening. And I felt the Lord lead me to one of the most well-known verses in the whole of the Bible, Romans 8 and verse 28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." I wonder, just a brief meditation on God's providence. It's a wonderful subject. And that verse from Psalm 40 speaks of this. "Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there will be too many to declare." And how true that is in our lives, is it not? Tracing through God's hand upon us in his providential care. Sometimes we feel we won't make it to the end. Were you good at sports at school? The cross-country run? I wasn't, sadly. I often wondered, will I make it to the end? And some can ask that of themselves regarding the Christian life. Shall I make it to the end? Well, God's word assures us that trusting in Jesus and looking to him, you will. And that great verse in Hebrews 12 says us, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. C.H. Spurgeon said that if God lights a candle, none can blow it out. God knows all things, doesn't he? And he marvelously works all things out to his glory and to our good. And we can illustrate that from many examples in Scripture. For example, the life of Joseph. Here he was, imprisoned and forgotten, and yet exalted and became God's instrument for blessing. And then at the end of Genesis, we read how the brothers were very frightened because the old man Jacob had died. They threw themselves, "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me. But God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." God's providence. I suppose that's the equivalent of Romans 8:28 in the Old Testament. God intended it for good. There's a great definition of providence in the Heidelberg Confession. God's providence is his almighty and ever-present power, whereby, as with his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth and all creatures, and so governs them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. What a comfort that is, isn't it? Is it to you? Well, it certainly is to me. Very briefly, in Romans 8 and verse 28, we're told five things God works. Well, that's a wonderful definition. The best definition of all, I suppose, of God's providence. He works. He sovereignly works. None can stop his hand from working. And he works for the good of his people, secondly. And he works for the good in all things. Even the bad things that happen to us, the difficult things, the painful things, he redeems them. That in his mighty providence they turn out to be blessings. He works for the good of those who love him. This is particularly of those who are believers this evening. This is a blessing for you, Christian. And he works all things to his own purpose. We're worried today, frustrated today. Well, trust in the Lord Jesus and look to him. And there are encouragements for you and blessings for you. "I have plans for you," said the Lord to Jeremiah. "Plans to bless you." And we take that comfort to our hearts this evening. Well, my friends, I've been reading a wonderful book. It's a book called Wise Counsel, Letters of John Newton to a younger minister called John Ryland. We know that John Newton had been a slave trader, and as a young man, he left his father, he left England, left the shores of Great Britain, and the very pits of his life, I suppose, was in about 1743, 44, when he was held as a virtual slave of his employer's African mistress. His father asked a merchant trader to send his ships to look for John. He'd been missing for years, hadn't seen him. And John later relates in his biography that the ship, the Greyhound, found him providentially in Sierra Leone. He said this: "Had the ship passed one quarter of an hour sooner, I would have died there a wretch. as I had lived. He's about 23 years old at the time. On the journey home in the ship, the Greyhound, a terrible storm broke out. We hear about this. Just off the coast of Newfoundland, and between then and Ireland, it swamped the Greyhound. The ship was ready to break up. John cried out to God, and that was the beginning. God's marvelous providence was seen in his life. And no wonder he could write Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound.